Okay, the boys say today's daf is daf Tzadik Dalit. We'll begin in Yetz Hashem from the Ikka, the Omar, or really the Ikka, the Amri, which is five lines from the bottom of Tzadik Gimel Omid Beis. You see, at the end of the line, it says the Ikka, the Omar. Holoiti Boyelach. We're in the middle of a sugya, so just to remind ourselves what we're talking about, let's go back to 2, 4, sixth wide line. Towards the end of the line, the Gemara says, Boy Mene Rav Sheshes. They ask the following Shaila of Rav Sheshes. Eid Echad Biyavamah Mahu. What's the din by an Eid Echad Biyavamah? What is this Eid Echad Biyavamah? You remember back in our Mishnah when we started off our new parak, back on Hey Zion Omid Beis, we spoke about the fact that you had a married lady whose husband went to Medina Sayyam, and then one Eid came back and said, I have bad news for you. Your husband unfortunately passed away. She remarried. And then good news. 6 months later, the real husband came back home. Well, that's wonderful for the husband. It's very bad for her because she has unfortunately, unwittingly committed adultery because she married a second husband when she was still married to the first husband. She didn't do it intentionally. However, she was grossly negligent. What do you mean she was grossly negligent? Because we said at the beginning of the parak, the only reason why the Chachamim allowed a woman to rely on one eighth, normally a pishnayim eidim yakum davar, is because isha daika umintziva, she's going to do the proper due diligence and call up all of the detective agencies worldwide to find out what happened to her husband. Obviously, she did not do a very good job, because she remarried and her husband showed up shortly thereafter. Therefore, Tetzim Yisrael, he said, like we learned in the Mishnah. So the Gemara Shaila that we started off with yesterday on the sixth wide line of Tzadik Gimel Amid Beis, do we allow for Eid Echad Bivama? Meaning, once again, the husband went away, one Eid comes on the scene and said that he passed away, and she had no children with that husband, she falls the Yibam, can she go and marry the Yavam based on one Eid? And on her daika umintzva, and on her doing the due diligence. That was the Gemara Shaila. Right before the Ikka d'Amri, going back five lines from the bottom, Ella lav shmamina, see five lines from the bottom, Chad, the tam of the osa beitrei akhshua, lav hochi mehem. What does that mean? The Gemara was poshet that Shaila yesterday and said that one works, and only if two are makhish, then makhish means that they say contrary testimony, then I go and say that the first aid was wrong. However, if there's only one aid and nobody gives any contrary testimony, you're allowed to rely on the aid echad to go ahead and be the siyabim to the other. So that was the first version. But there's a second version. Holoiti boilach. The question that we posed a moment ago, that was really not a shaila. Avada, we're going to go and rely on one aid for her to go and engage in yibam with her yavam. How do I know? Even she herself is believed based on her own statement or testimony. The nam like within the Mishnah. Ha'isha she'amra, a lady comes on the scene and she says, Meiz Bali, my husband passed away. Where's your husband? Oh, you were married. He passed away. Oh, I'm so sorry. Anyway, I'd like to have a new shidduch. Oh, why don't you go and marry Mr. Smith? Very good. Oh, Tinase, she's allowed to remarry just on her own say-so that her husband passed away. And the same thing applies Meiz Bali. If she says that my husband passed away and I fall yibam to siyabim, she can go and be nisiyabim through the yavam. So therefore we see that she is believed. So madach, she is believed, then certainly one aid who is a disinterested party, he's certainly going to be believed. And that's why the Gemara says, Holeiti Baylach. Kiti Baylach, so where is the Shaila? The Mishri Yavamali Alma, not to go and permit her to go and marry the Yavam, to have Yibam, but rather not to have Yibam. What does that mean? When could you have a situation that you rely on her or on an aid not to have yibam? So Rashi gives two simple cases. Case number one is that you have one aid comes on the scene and says, not only did your husband pass away, but your Yavam passed away. And since your Yavam passed away, you are free to go and marry to the world. Barry, we're on Tzadik Gimel Amid Beis, two lines from the bottom of the Amid. So, you have the Eid Echa that says that the Yavam passed away. Or, you have Eid Echa that says, Meis Ba'alech Biachkach Meis Benech. Unfortunately, both your husband and your son were on a fishing trip on a boat. The boat capsized. Your husband, who was 500 pounds, he sank immediately. Your son, who was Baruch Hashem, a little bit slimmer, he was able to go and do some laps for a couple of minutes, but unfortunately he was also taken down by the tidal waves. So, first, your husband passed away. At the moment the husband passed away, there was a son alive. No din of Yibam. So even though the son passed away 5 minutes later, you're off the hook from Yibam. So now the question is, if you have two Eidim, of course you can rely on that. The question is, can you rely now on one Eid to testify that she's Muteres Lishuk, that she does not fall to the Yavam because either the Eid Echad says the Yavam died, or because she says that she didn't fall to Yibam because the son died after the father. Can you rely on one Eid? Zakti Mara Kiti Baylach, three lines from the bottom. Kiti Baylach, the Mishra Yavam Ali'an. To rely on one Eid to imatir her, to permit her to marry to the world. My time of the Eid Echad, what's the reason why we rely on one Eid in our Mishnah? When someone says testimony, and he knows that eventually the truth will come out and be revealed, he's not going to want to look like a fool or a liar, and so therefore he's going to be careful to say the truth. So here too, we assume, he's not going to say a sheker. The reason why we rely on one eid is because we don't rely just on that one eid, but we rely on her due diligence. V'ha, and the case of the Yavam Lishuk, perhaps le'daiku mitzvah. Maybe she won't do the proper due diligence. You know why? To misnahu de sanyale. She never got along with her brother-in-law. Ever since she got engaged to her husband, the brother-in-law was always needling her and saying, "No, what you do? You took my brother away, and I loved my brother, and now you're taking him away." And they always made comments about her attire and other things, and so she always had a dislike. So as soon as she hears from the one aide that either the Yavam died, or that after her husband died, her son died, so she doesn't fully even to the Yavam, so then she goes through the motion of calling up the detective agencies to be Daiko Mitzvah, but she doesn't really have her heart in it. And she says, all of those detective agencies, come back with a report within 10 minutes. If you can, that's great. And if not, okay, you did a great job. I thank you very much. Why does she do that? Because she doesn't want that Yavam. She's delighted to hear from the Yavam, from the Eid Echad, that she does not fall the Yibam to that Yavam. So if that's the case, maybe we should not rely on Eid Echad. And that's the Shaila. Do we rely on Eid Echad for the din of Yavama Lishuk? Amr Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says to Nisua, I can bring a raya from the Mishnah that we learned yesterday, or the day before, in Daf Tzadik Beis Amud Aleph. What does it say in the Mishnah? Amr Lo, they told the young lady, the husband went away, he didn't come back. Meis Balech, your husband passed away. Viachach Meis Benech, and shortly thereafter, your son also passed away. So what happens as a result? No din of Yibam, because when the husband passed away, Ben Yeshloi, he had a son. Okay, based on that testimony, Manissis, she went and married somebody else. She married Lishuk, someone. Viachach Omrula, and then subsequently they came and told her, Chilifayedvar, oh, yeah, it was the other way around. The son passed away first, and then the Baal. And therefore, you did fall the Yibam after all. Oy, yoy, yoy, yoy. And she married out Lishuk. What happens now? Teitze, she has to leave that husband because she was not authorized to marry him in the first place. Mahavlad Risha Machra Mamzen, if she had any children from that other husband, they would be Mamzeirim. What's it? Why would they be Mamzeirim? Well, how do you know it goes according to Rabbi Kiva?
Because he says, Chai Belab, there's only this question whether it's Gosiyat Shuk, whether it's Toface or not. Assuming here we're saying it's Toface.
So what Brother Shai is telling us is, on the surface, this Gemara is a Pella, Kala means it's hard to understand, because it says that she married a stranger instead of marrying her Yavam. Okay, it's an Isalav. It says in the Torah, Loisia Ashes Hameis Ha Chutzali Ish Zar. She can't just go marry anybody. Yavam Yavialeha. Okay, so she was over such a lav. Normally, over lav, you get patch. And if you have children, the children are pigumim, which means they are blemished. But they don't become mamzerim. And yet the Gemara says, vavlan rishon v'achrin mamzer. So Brother Shai tells us it's going according to Rabbi Akiva. And not only does Brother Shai tell us that, if you look at the top Rashi, vavlan mamzer ki Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds that you have a mamzer mechayovei lav. Fine, that's the Mishnah. Now let's try to analyze the mechanics of the Mishnah. What mechanics? Because initially, Omrullah, they told her, your husband died, and after that, your son. And then Achkach, Omrullah, they told her, who are the they and who are the they? Hechidam, Elaim, betray you, tray. Two Adam initially came and said, your husband died first, therefore you do not fall Yimim. And then the second pair of Adam said, no, your husband died last, and therefore you did fall Yimim. Why should you rely on the second pair of Adam and then say, oh, Taitse, get out of here. You're not allowed to be married to this person, Bashuk. You got to go to Yavala. Yavala. Let's go rely on the first pair. In other words, why is the second pair more believed than the first? The oy. And you tell me that it's a mamzer. Maximum, it's a something mamzer. Maybe the second pair of Adam are right, and therefore maybe she did fall Yibim, then maybe the first pair are right, and she did not fall Yibim. Who says? And that second kasha, nishka kasha, when it said mamzer, it means suffering mamzer, and the Mishnah was not so medactic in its lashon. How many can we say for later in the Mishnah, it says, rish mamzer v'achron ena mamzer, in another case which is unrelated to us. You see, when the Gemara, when the Mishnah wanted to be precise, it knew how to be precise. Shmamina the daf kiktani. So Ibazoi, when it says mamzer, means a mamzer. And the choir, if it's two against two, it should be a maximum suffix mamzer. Mushman jogging that the first edis of the Omrullah was a single A. He was the one that said, you don't fully yibam because your son died second. And she married out Lishuk. And then what happened subsequently? Two Adam came. Oh, two Adam. Two Adam is obviously stronger than one aid. Now the two Adam came on the scene and said that first aid erred. He made a mistake and was really chilifali advar. And you do fully Yibam. Now we follow the second two Adam as opposed to the first aid. Says Imar Vitama, the awesome Beitrei Akashur. The reason why we don't follow the first aid's testimony, but we follow the other two, is because a new pair of Adam came on the scene. What would happen if no new Adam came on the scene? We would continue relying on that first A. So you see, Mehaman. So we can answer our Shaila. That when you have a Shaila of Yavam Malishuk, we can rely on one A.
Sorry, is there any feasible scenario where we would not rely on one A?
If the Gemara would conclude, and in fact the Gemara will conclude shortly, that we have no proof that you can rely on one aid, if one aid would come and say, Meis Balach Yachach Meis Menech, the rabbis would go and tell the young lady, sorry, that's not enough proof or evidence, and you just have to wait it out.
So all of this that we've been doing is conjecture, and we can never rely on one aid?
Not that this is all conjecture. At the beginning of the parak, we said that if you have a regular lady without any yibum situation, meaning that her husband had a bunch of kids together with her, and or that there was no yavam because he was the only son, he had 12 sisters but no brothers, so there's no yibum issue. Come back and say that the husband died. How many have to come back and say? The Mishnah and the Gemara said one aid is enough, even though normally, but because we don't want this lady to remain an iguna forever, Chamamor Nekel and said, one aid, but you better make sure to do your due diligence. call up the KGB, call up the FBI, call up the CIA, call up the police department, call up the Interpol, the Mossad, everyone and anyone to find out the real whereabouts of your husband. And if she does that, then presumably she'll find out the truth. Either he died or he didn't die.
So only when a Yibam situation is...
Is that the Shaila today?
Right.
If it's no Yibam situation, that the Mishnah already told us back in Daf Tzadik Zayin, that we will rely on 1/8. But if afterwards she did not do her due diligence, and the husband comes back subsequently, then we throw the books at her. She has to leave both husbands. She doesn't get a ksuba, and she doesn't go and get mezoinis and balois and peiris and a whole bunch of other things which were listed in that first
Masayata.
Good. Brother Barry has a question. How are you feeling, Brother Barry?
My eye is worse. I'm going to see a doctor
today. So, Tzangeben, you should continue to be a man of vision. How can you
have the simis, carrots?
Or have yummy matzah
b'ayim. Every time we have a witness,
That was Ula. That was Ula we had a couple of days ago. Our Gemara does not go with that Ula. Our Gemara assumes that we do not follow that. So now the Gemara asks, so the Gemara L'Choyr has given us a convincing proof that our Mishnah is talking about one and had another new pair not arrived on the scene. We would listen to that one. And that's why it says in the Mishnah Taket, Meis Balach V'yakach Meis B'nech, go and get married. Either it was only 1/8. 1/8 is enough. Do your due diligence and get married. That's fine. It's only a later peer comes. Oh, hoy, then she's going to be a tzuris. But until they come, unless and until she can marry. So we've been poshut ashak. Everything more know. Lo oilam treyu trey. Could be the Mishnah talking about 2 and 2. You asked, then why does the second peer have any more ne'emonis, trustworthiness, than the first peer? Situation. What means Eidi Hazama? Eidi Hazama means that the first peer of Edom came and said, we were there in England when unfortunately the boat capsized and Meis Balech Yachach Meis Benech. We know for a fact that first the husband died, he couldn't swim, and then the son died, he was able to swim, but unfortunately he was brought down by the heavy tides and never he died. So because of the fact that the son lived a couple of minutes longer, she doesn't fall the evil. Those are 2 Edom. 2 new Edom come on the scene and say, 2 problems with your testimony. Number one, we were there in England at the time, and in fact the son died first. He was a very weak swimmer, but the husband, he was much more vigorous, much more full of life, and he died second. And therefore she did fall the evil. That's number one. Number two, what are you talking about that you were there in England? We know that you were in Africa, in Australia at the time. You weren't even there. Okay, they couldn't be both in Australia and in England at the same time. So it means that we saw you leave on the train in the morning to go to France or whatever it is. The point is that they're saying you weren't even there. Mari used the expression, Imanu Hayisem, you were with us and therefore we know that you weren't there. So if they weren't there, then the second pair of Edom are believed against the first pair. Normally, 2 against 2, okay, 2 against 2, trey or trey. However, by Hazama, there's a special din that the second pair of Edom that were mazim are believed more than the first pair. Okay?
Before the Gemara asked, why do we believe these 2 instead of that 2? By Hazama, how do I know
what you're saying, you're absolutely right logically, but that's the halacha exeter sakasiv. That's the Gemara Masechtas Malkis, where the Gemara says, whether we like it or not, when it comes to Hilchas Hazama, if the second pair of Edom attack and challenge the first pair by saying, you weren't even there at the time. We know for a fact that you were in Australia. You weren't in England. We believe the second pair over the first pair. There's no particular logic, Azoyis.
What happens to the first set of Edom if they're found to be Zomim in this scenario?
We will declare them to be liars.
No, I'm saying they don't suffer asitim lo kasher zom, meaning what punishment would they...
In other situations, you have the kasher zom. In other words, that we will punish them what they wanted to inflict on the other one. Over here, they didn't want to inflict anything. Only they went and said false testimony. So is it that they wanted to inflict on her that she should go and get killed and she should go and get kares, and therefore we should say they should get kares? She wouldn't get kares. Maximum over here, she would go and get, she'd have to bring a carbon. It's not even a carbon chattis because it was only an isalaf. So she should go and get malchus. Maybe they should go and get malchus. I don't know that the bezin would give malchus under these circumstances because she was an oinus or she was a shoygin. She taka didn't do a due diligence. But whether it rises to the level of punishing her by giving her malchus, we didn't have that in the Mishnah. We only said the Mishnah takes him izeh umizeh, and she loses her ksuba, and she loses all the other things. None of that applies to the two etim. So I don't think that there would be a case over here for inflicting the punishment on them that they wanted to inflict on her.
Malchus.
I don't even know if there would be malchus, because she wouldn't get malchus in this situation, even though she erred by being over this lav. So she did a bishogig or baones. She said, I listened to these two idiots. They told me that the Yavam died.
Yeah, one idiot. Oh, now it's two. Yeah,
yes,
two,
exactly. Right, right. And therefore, I'm potter. And I assume the peasant would say, you're right, you're potter. You didn't do your due diligence, and because of that, you need to get from each one. Yeah, but it doesn't say in our Mishnah that you need to get
from each one. So therefore, the penalty is not as great. So, yeah.
What you're talking about is the leader of the Reb Shimon. The Reb Shimon distinguishes between 1-8 and 2-8. But you remember at the end of yesterday's Gemara, not really yesterday's Gemara, it was Gemara from the second day of Yom Tov, Gemara said that Rav Papa wanted to go and paskin halach al ma'isa like Reb Shimon and not like the Rabbanan, by assuming that the Rabbanan have the same din as Reb Shimon. But unfortunately, they challenged him, and ultimately, says Gemara, v'nimnavali ovid uvda. He did not rely on this distinction. And we said last night at the end of the shir that, in fact, in Shulchan Aruch it says it makes no difference whether she remarries based on 1-8 or based on 2-8. Halacha l'maisa makes no difference if afterwards the first husband comes back. That she loses her tuben.
It wasn't Ayyidei Ahura's based in. So she still has all those penalties.
All those penalties. It was Reb Shimon the Mishnah that said no. The Gemara concluded at the end that we don't follow Reb Shimon.
Wow.
She better be careful if she wants to remarry.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a lady in Buru Park who's been in Niguna for 50 years because never her husband disappeared one day. There's never been any concrete testimony one way or the other. She's never been able to remarry. And that's the way it works. Unfortunately, Nebuch, yeah. There are people that have tzaras in this world. And we continue on. So, bottom line is, we cannot be poached our shayla because our Mishnah is not talking about 1-8, it's talking about 2-8. Only the mortal Ravashi, be amri lorav achar lorav ashi. Toshima, let's try to be poached to shayla. Eno isha nemenes leimar meis yevami she enosei, vile meis achoisi she ekones lebeisar. What's the halacha? The woman herself comes on the scene and says, I want to get married. But what happened to your husband? Husband never passed away. Did you have any children? No. So you fall even. My Yavam also passed away. What happened? Both of them were on a fishing trip in Nebuch. Both of them fell even. The boat collapsed and capsized and Nebuch, both of them died. Okay? Says the Braisa, we do not believe her. But she's going to have to bring eight. What happens if she says, I know for a fact that my sister passed away, my sister who was married to my brother-in-law, she never passed away, and now my brother-in-law now is a widower, and now I unfortunately lost my sister, so this is a match made in heaven, I'm going to go and marry my brother-in-law. She's not believed to say Mesa Achoisi Shekonis Lebeisa, that I should take over her position and marry her husband. That's what it says in the Brice, and now the Gemara is Medayik. He nihi, she, Deloy Mehamna. She's not believed. Her aid Echad Mehamna. But if there would be one aid, you would be believed, because only it says she's not believed. Mashma, that a disinterested single party, one individual, would be believed. Oh, so we can be poishad our Shaila that we believe one aid. That says that this Isha's Yavam passed away and she's Mutalishul. Says Gemara, 1 second, let's go to the sefer of that brisa. Ein sefer. Eino ish ne'eman loymar meis ochi sh'ayabim es ishtoi, v'loy meis ishti she'esa es achoiso. If you have a similar situation in reverse, where a man says, my brother passed away, and therefore I want to go and be miyabim his wife, my sister-in-law. My husband, my brother passed away, leaving over his wife. I want to go and marry his wife, the widow. He's not believed. And if he says that my wife passed away, because I want to now marry her surviving sister, also not believed. He's not believed in either of those two situations. So now you're going to go be medayik the same way as you were medayik in the Resha. Are you going to say he's not believed? But one aid is believed when the aid says that meis ochi or meisa ishti. But that's not right. It's wrong. The reason why by isha we say that we believe her with one aid, why do we believe? Because of nebuchad iguna. Gabi ish, my ikalameir. By ish, there is no iguna situation. Every time you have a lady that loses potentially her husband, she wants to remarry. Until we know for sure that the husband died, she's got problems. So the Chacham said, if we have at least one credible witness, do your due diligence and you can go and get married, but be careful, because if you're not careful, chas v'shalom, all the kenosis of our Mishnah. But what happens if we have the same thing with Gabi and ish? So we say to an ish that your wife may have passed away. Does he have the same concern? Then who am I going to get married to? I'm going to remain an igun for the rest of my life, a bachelor. No. In the times of Chazal, he could go marry another 50 women. There was no chayin with Rebbe Gershon. Jeff, thank you for joining us. We're in Tzadik Dalid Amud Aleph. Tzadik Dalid Amud Aleph. A little bit past halfway down the Amud. And therefore, the Gemara says, by a man, there is no igun situation. Because if he's not sure whether his wife passed away, okay, he may sit shiva, he might not sit shiva, but he'll just marry somebody else. He had no problems marrying multiple women in the times of Chazal. So therefore, there's no reason for us to say, rely on one aid. You're relying, nisht rely, just marry somebody else. So Zokti Gemara. So obviously, you cannot make such a diuk in the Sefer. We don't believe him, but we believe Eid Echad. Because you see, we don't believe Eid Echad Gabi Ish. So therefore, you have no right in the Resha either. When you wanted to go and say, oh, we don't believe her, but we believe Eid Echad. No, both in the Resha and the Sefer, we do not believe Eid Echad. What's the Chiddush then of the Resha that we don't believe the woman when she says, Meisi Vami, or when she says, Meisa Achosi? Elech Itzrech Lebekiva Itzrech. This price is going according to Bekiva. And it's telling us a chiddush according to Rabbi Kiva. So kedai techem in a holy yom Rabbi Kiva. Yesh mamzim chiyavim lavin. Eima chaisha akil kula vidaika. Since Rabbi Kiva holds is a mamzim chiyavim lavin, so let's go back to the original case in this price. Eina isha nemenes loimar meisi yavami she'enose. We do not believe this woman when she says that my yavam passed away to be able to go and remarry. Okay, so now, what happens if in fact we would believe her, and she would go and marry Lashuk, and now it turns out that the Yovam is still alive? So, okay, it seems to me she's been over just a lav. What's the lav? She should have had Yiva Mor Chalitza. She didn't. She married out. She's over the lav of Lysia, Eishas Amesa, Chutzal Ishzar. Now what happens if she has a child from that marriage? Okay, it's a child from Chayovi Lavin and Nishkefer Elach. I mean, they have their pogum. It'd be hard for them to find Shiduchim, but they're not Mamzerim. Oh, but according to Rabbi Kiva, they are Mamzerim, because Yesh Mamzer B'Chayovi Lavin. So therefore, Eima, I might have thought, Chayisha Al Kilkula, the Bach takes out the word, the Zara, she is concerned about Kilkul, the Daika, meaning she doesn't want to have children that are going to be labeled Mamzerim. She doesn't want to be over on this Isalab and bring Mamzerim on the world. So maybe I would say that Daika Umintzva, even she alone, perhaps we should rely on her. Until now we said Daika Umintzva, we should rely on one aid. So Kadaita Chamina, maybe we should even rely on herself, even without one aid, that she'll be daika mitzvah. She's not going to take lightly the idea of marrying Lishuk when potentially there is a Yavam around. Holilo, according to Rabbi Akiva, they're going to be possible mamzerim. Kamash Mulan, that's why the Bryce says to tell you, I'm very sorry, we'll never believe her on her own testimony. You have to have at least one aid, or perhaps two aid. So bottom line is, Deval, we still cannot bring a raya to our shaykh. But now we're going to try to be poishet from Rava. Skip the parenthesis.
What's the case of the Seifa when he comes? So
the case of the Seifa is really just to enhance the halach of the Reisha. It's really not negiah to our sugya. Both in the case of the Reisha and the Seifa, we do not believe either the woman or the man to go and say these facts. You have to have at least, if you hold that one eight is enough, one eight. You have to have two eight. The case in the Sefer is very, very simple. It's no grace of chiddush. Of course, an ish is never believed on his own. Even one aid won't be believed on his own. Why not? What's the nature? Why should I go and believe him? If you're telling me that the husband's going to be stuck, he won't be able to remarry. He will be able to remarry. He can remarry him instantaneously because he's allowed to have more than one wife. So therefore, if the husband says, if the man says, "Ein ish nemalei memeis achi," my brother passed away, I want to be miyabim his wife. If we don't believe him, so what is he going to do? He won't be miyabim his ishtar. If you want, give chalitza. But I want to go marry somebody. There are another 3 billion women out there. 2.5 of them live in China. Go and be Megaya, one of the women, you'll have plenty of potential mates. So therefore, no problem. Maybe he's alive, she's loving. Who cares? Go and marry anybody you want. And the same thing is Lemesa Ishti. What's the second case? He says that his wife died, and therefore I want to go and marry the sister. No, don't marry the sister. But if I feel so bad for her, after all, she's single and she wants to get married. There are plenty of singles out there that haven't gotten married. Go marry somebody else. So we're never going to believe him. But one aid comes. Mazel tov. We won't believe one aid either, because he has so many opportunities. We're only makel because of the iguna situation. By a man, there's never an iguna. What about today? Oh, there are chronim that talk about that, whether we would allow for eid echad today, because today we don't allow a man to go and marry a second wife because of chayim de ben ikeshim, so maybe he would be in the same place as the isha. But that's not for the Gemara, that's for later contemporary achronim that talk about that. Getting back to our original shayla. Our original shayla is, do we believe one eid to be able to marry l'shuk, for the yevoma to marry l'shuk? Rava Amar Eid Echad Neman Biyavam. Yes, we will believe Eid Echad. Bikabachaymer. What's the Kabachaymer? Madachli Issekaris Yitarta. Back in our Mishnah Tzadik Zayin. When we're talking about potential Isurim of Eishes Ish, that what? That she's going to go and remarry a stranger, and maybe the original husband's going to come back. Ay, 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 it's an Eishes Ish. That's a Karis situation. It's not only Karis, it's a Misa Bidei Bezin as well. There you matter based on one aid. The Isra Lav, Yevom L'shuk, which your maximum is going to be over the Isra of Laisiya, Eishas, Amaz, Eishra. It's the Isra Lav. Laikoshkin Chavada, we should go and believe the Eid Echad. So, based on the Kal B'chaymer, it's very simple. Amalu Hamwe Rabban al Rava. So, one of the Talmidim said to Rava, no, I have a pircha on your Kal B'chaymer. He atzva techiach. Let's bring a raya from the woman herself. So, the Isra Koresi Tarta. Legami the Shaila of Eishas Ish. We were matir. Where were we matir? If you go back to the Gemara that we started with today, back on Tzadik Gimel Amid Beis, four lines from the bottom of the Amid, Ditnan. Ho'isha she'omra meis pali tinase. She's believed to say that her husband passed away, and therefore she can remarry, even though the possible penalties are, the possible situation is, that she's going to go and marry when she's still an Eishas Ish. What happens if it's not true and her Baal is still living somewhere in Texas or something? No, we believe her. Even though we're talking about Issacharis, Chas Hashem, Mishama, Meis Baali, Tenasi, she can go and remarry. But we just said a couple of minutes ago, Toshima, 12, 14 lines from the top of the Yomid, that Bryce of Toshima, Eina Isha Nemenis Loima Meis Yivam Mishana. So we don't believe her that she says that her Yavam died and she can marry Lishuk, even though that's only in Issala. So you see, but he atzma tichyech, and Issachares, we believed her. Issalav lo yitart. So this kal v'chayim v'lechayra falls away. Well, eat my time alone. What's the reason, Taka? We don't believe her. Human is in the Sanyalay. I'll tell you why. Because when it comes to the Yavam, it is not uncommon for sisters-in-law not to like their brothers-in-law. And that being the case, when she is approached and she is told that her Yavam passed away, either she herself says her Yavam passed away, or Ein Echad says that the husband, passed away. The Yavam passed away. She says, "Now, Baruch Hashem, I've been waiting for this now for the last 50 years, and that Yavam should pass away. I never liked him from the first moment." So when Ein Echad comes and says, "Fine, you have to be Daika Mitzvah, no problem." She calls up the police. "Did you see my husband? Did you see my Yavam?" "No, we didn't see him." "Okay." She hangs up the phone. "You see, I was Daika Mitzvah." Ein Echad, same thing. Not only do we say by her that she's not believed, because she is, hates that brother-in-law, and she's not going to do a proper due diligence. Ein Echad Nami, even the Zim, the Sanyalei, since sometimes she will hate that brother-in-law, like Daika Mitzvah. And therefore, just like we don't believe her to say that the Yavam passed away, perhaps we don't believe Ein Echad that the Yavam passed away. So bottom line is, we have no proof one way or the other. The Gemara leaves this as an Iboya Dloi Ifshita. Can we or can we not rely on one Eid?
I had to Guna.
According to the first Mishnah in our Perek, if one aid says that the husband passed away, she is believed, or that one aid is believed, based on Daik Umintzah. She is going to go and do the proper due diligence. She did the proper due diligence and figures out and finds out that the husband died, she can go and remarry. If she remarried without doing the proper due diligence, and in fact the husband comes back a month later, a year later, "I'm here," he wants to throw a party, and she wants to go and rice kriya, she's very upset. Because now she's been over on Isra Eishes Ish for the last year, and if she had any children with that next husband, they're all going to be monster.
Being that it's such a complicated matter,
yeah,
why would the Gemara even rely on her to do the due diligence? She could have so many ulterior motives.
Because the Chachamim had tremendous rachmonis on this poor lady. Every woman wants to get married. Even if they say, "No, I'm happy being a single," they all want to get married. Tav lemesiv tan dum lemesiv arm, which means a woman wants to sit with a husband, with a mate, and not to go and sit as a almana, like a widow for the rest of her life, or as a divorcee for the rest of her life. More than a man wants to marry, a woman wants to marry. She's now in a terrible pickle between a rock and a hard place. She was married. Her husband's not here. One aide says, "Your husband died. I'm very upset that my husband died. But at least now I can remarry. I don't want to be a spinster. I don't want to be a widow for the rest of my life. I want to get married." Chacham said, "You can, but be careful. Do your due diligence." Talk to you more about it. At the very end of the Mishnah on Tzadik Beis, he says, "Zem Benish Dorish Rabbi Lozer Ben Masi." Let's take a quick look at the Mishnah on Tzadik Beis, Omid Beis, and the Mishnah on the bottom of the Omid Aleph. Says there in the Mishnah, Amrullah, they told her, Meis Balech, three lines before the end of the Mishnah. They told her that your husband died. Viniskacha, based on that, she went and married somebody else. Through Eris, not Nisun, Viniskacha. And then the original husband comes back. She's allowed to return to him because Baruch Hashem, she didn't have nisuin with that new husband, so she's allowed to go back to the first husband. The second husband doesn't have to give a get because the kiddushin was worthless. She was an Eishes Ish, she was married. Baruch Hashem, they didn't do anything more than Eirusin. So just give back the ring, Shalom Yisrael, and go home. We're done. Uteres Lasalek. She can go back to the original husband. What happens if that second husband says, I want to give a get to be on the safe side? That get has absolutely no halachic validity. It's like giving an empty piece of paper. It's Alpha Bishanosu Lachar get, like Possum in a Kuna. She doesn't become Possum in a Kuna because she doesn't need a get. It's like I, a stranger, go over to a married lady in the street. "Mrs. Smith, here, I want to give you a get." "I'm not married to Mrs. Smith, because I have my own wife. So I'm not married to that lady, so that get is worthless." Based on that, as Zu Dorish Blozer Ben Maske, at the beginning of Parshas Emor, it says, "Isha Zoyne V'Chalala Lo Yikachu V'Isha Grusha Me'isha Lo Yikachu." Don't take a lady who's a Grusha Me'isha. Me'isha means from her husband. Let me ask you a question. Why does the pasuk have to say Be'isha Grusha Me'isha? It should just say Be'isha Grusha Lo Yikach. Why does it say Grusha Me'isha? Ah, it says Reb Lozman, Ma'asi Be'isha Grusha Me'isha. For Le Me'isha Ein Me'isha. You know when a lady's branded a Grusha when she got a get from her husband, a real husband. But if she gets a get from a pseudo-husband, not a real husband, like in our case, where the husband was not a real marriage because she was still married to the original husband, then Baruch Hashem, he returned on the scene. Then that get is worthless and then meaningless. So getting back to our Gemara now in Tzadik Dalet Omer Aleph, Omer Yud Omer Av, Havli Reb Loza Lemedrish Bei Marganisa V'Dorish Bei Chaspa. Reb Loza could have said a much better drasha, which is a pearl, instead of darshaning the drasha that he said in our Mishnah, which is a chaspa. Chaspa means like a shard. What was the shard? Because everybody knows that if you get a get from someone to whom you're not married to, then of course that get is worthless. I don't need a great Talmud Chacham like Rabbi Lozman and Masi to tell us that. He could have darshaned a much better drasha. To sign you, what would be the drasha? The isha, grusha me'isha, afil neskarsha ela me'isha, Psulikahuna. What is that case? What happens if a person gave a very strange get? You have a husband who hates his wife and only wants to cause her misery and agony. And unfortunately, there are husbands like that today. There are some wives who are like that today, unfortunately. Anyway, so what did he do? He gave her a get and he wrote in the get, Hariat migureshes mimeni, you are divorced from me. The e at muteris the chalada, but you're not allowed to marry anybody else. Now we know one of the essential terms that you have to have in a get is hari at muteris the chalada, that you are allowed to marry anybody else. But here he wrote just the opposite. How he convinced the soifer, I don't know. Maybe he paid him off. But the soifer wrote in the get hari at mugureshes mimeni, you're divorced from me, but you're not allowed to marry anybody else in the world. Now clearly this get is not effective to cause a divorce between the husband and wife. However, what it is effective is that from now on she'll be possible to kahuna. So if eventually this husband dies and the wife says, Baruch Hashem, finally this misery is over, and now she wants to marry a kohen, she will not be able to marry a kohen. Why won't she be able to marry a kohen? Because this get has a reyach haget, the poisel de kahuna. And that's what you could have darshaned from this pasuk. Ve'isha grusha me'isha, when you have an isha that's only divorced from her husband and not from anybody else, because the get itself says you're megureshes mimeni, but you're not mutter to anybody else. So you and I would say that get is ineffective, and you're right, it's ineffective. She is not get; she's still married to that husband. However, if the husband dies, that get has at least enough halachic efficacy and validity that she's not allowed to marry any kohen because she was an isha grusha me'isha from the skash of isha psul lekuna, and that's what we call reyach haget, the poison of kuna.
So
yes,
if they live in St. Louis, yes, he has to remain there. She'll always be in misery.
She'll always be in misery. Yes, and not only in St. Louis, but any other city in misery, right. She'll live in misery.
Shelley.
Yes, yes, Shelley. Thank you very much. That was a
there
beautiful
is a
comment.
There is St. Louis, Kansas, also.
St. Louis, I think you mean that there are two Kansas cities. There's a Kansas City
that
in Missouri, and there's a Kansas City in Kansas. That's okay, no problem. Yes? Yes.
Right, so in the get, when he writes Hare At Megureshet, isn't it automatic that she should be Mutara anyone else?
No, because when we're going to learn Maseches Gittin, and hopefully you'll be able to join us, we're going to learn that one of the essential terms in every get is Hariat Muteris L'chol Adam. You are now permitted to marry anybody else from the Jewish faith on the face of this world.
So it's not, by saying Hariat Megureshet, is there a scenario where she wouldn't be Muteret to anyone else?
Yes, because look at the Lashon of Rashi. See Rashi about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Do you have that, Rashi? Kigoyin Shekosav Lagyet V'yomala Hariat Megureshet Mimeni V'i At muteris l'chalada, and you are not. In other words, he expressly negates the possibility of her marrying somebody else. Not only does he say you're megurish mimeni, but you're not allowed to marry anybody else.
Does he have the jurisdiction to do that?
He has the jurisdiction in the sense that since this get will be possible, in fact, he has not given her a kosher get, and they are still husband and wife.
Because the language is no good.
Exactly. What would happen if he wrote the wrong name in the get? Also, get is not, her name is Sally, and said you wrote Sprinza, or vice versa. Get is no. So here the get is also no good. By the way, I, Baruch Hashem, I've never attended a get, but I'm told that all but the dinim today, so that you should never be future concerns about the get, that as soon as the get is handed over to the wife, the bezin takes the get back, and they tear it up into pieces, throw it in the garbage, and they give her a receipt or a certificate saying, we hereby certify that this young lady receives a get on this and this day, and that she is a confirmed grusha.
Yeah, they never release that.
They never release what?
The get.
They do not.
The actual.
They don't keep the get because they don't want 25 years later somebody say, oh, you made a mistake on the 12th line, and therefore you have no generations of Mamzadim because she was still married to the original. Anyway, such a get is no good to divorce each other. However, it has the reach get. It smells like a get. It looks like a get. So it's enough to go and passel her that she can never marry a Kohen subsequently.
If there's a follow-up good get, complete get, if she still can't go back to it, she can't smuggle a guna.
But she's getting
to this payoff get, they have a, what happens if they stay together for a while and he gets even more sick of her and says, forget it, I just want to get rid of her, and gives her a full complete get that he tucks her to everyone else. So she still can't dispossess her from guna because of this payoff get that they did before.
Jeff, you're missing one thing, and that is, let's assume that you did not hold the din of reach get. If she gets a get from that husband, eventually, in the state of misery or not, that get will certainly hassle her from the kohen. That's the pasuk in Parshas Emor, Isha Grusha Meisha Leikachu, kohen is never allowed to marry a Grusha. So if she gets a real, bona fide, 100% get, of course she can't marry a kohen. But our Mishnah is telling us is even if the get is not such a strong bona fide get, because there are major defects in it, nevertheless, she's still ushered to a kohen.
I got it. Thank you. Thank
you're welcome, welcome.
What about after just kiddushin, and he decides, I don't want to go through the marriage, so he has to give her a get just after kiddushin, so is there, she's also puzzled?
Also, the grusha from Aderson is the same thing as the grusha from Esau. Okay. Same status. Zok the Mishnah. Now this is the reverse mirror image of the first case in our parak. In our parak we spoke about that the husband went away in Medina Sayyam. You can't find him. Here we're talking about that the Ishtoi went in Medina Sayyam. She went for a summer vacation. And she went to Medina Sayyam. And then Bovi Amrulai, and then they came back and said, Mesa Ishtecha, your wife died. Unfortunately. Okay. So now, what can he do? He can marry anyone and everyone, because his wife died. Even if his wife was alive, he could have married anyone and everyone. There's no iguna situation by the husband, because before Rabbeinu Gershom, you're able to go marry as many women as you want. Now, what did he do instead of just marrying anybody? He married the sister of his wife. Until now, he was not able to. Isha alachoisa loisikach, he now had to go marry two sisters. However, the halacha only applies b'chayeha, when the sisters are both alive. When one of them passes away, you can marry the other sister. So he was told that his wife passed away. Nebuch. He married the sister. V'yacha bas ishtei, now his wife returns. So the chayda, I would say, like the first Mishnah, oh, what he did was a terrible thing. He should have done due diligence. He should have asked. He should have done, da da da. No, if halacha is muteres lach seloi, she, the original wife, is allowed to return to him, and there's no problem. You don't have to give a get. Everything is fine.
So that means he's married to two sisters?
No. Second marriage, the mafreya, retroactively, we will see that that marriage was not effective, because you cannot marry two sisters. Just
what
like
if there were kids?
But if the kids, unfortunately, then you'd have a mamzerim issue. And that's going to be the second part of the Mishnah. You're one step ahead of us. Yes, sir.
There is no issue of erva.
Avad is an issue of erva. That's what we're saying. When he went and married the sister, he was told that his wife had passed away. There's only one sister left. Okay, no issa erva. He was able to marry her. But now that he hears, unfortunately or fortunately, his original wife is around, now he's quote unquote married to two sisters. What can he do? So the answer is, like we just discussed with Ariel, the second marriage was not effective. You can't go marry two sisters, just like a brother can't marry a sister, just like a father can't marry a daughter. His marriage is meaningless. So, finished. However, can he return to the original wife? The answer is yes, he can return to the original wife. Muteris lachzalei. And umutim b'kroy v'shnia, we're on to the Amud Beis, Rabbi Yisai, top line, umutim b'kroy v'shnia, u'shnia muteris b'kroy vav. Because of the fact that he was never married to the second lady, if he subsequently wanted to go and marry the daughter of that lady, no problem. He was never married to her. So there's no Isha Uvita situation. There's no new erva created. He was never married to her. Ushtim Bateres Bekroivav. And similarly, she is allowed to go marry his Kroivim. She's allowed to. That is, that other sister that mistakenly married, since it was not a real marriage, she can go marry his brother. No problem. No din of Eishes Ach or anything like that. What happens if subsequently the first one passes away? Mutish Mishniya, he can return to that sister to whom he was married, quote unquote. Wasn't really married, he thought he was married, even though unfortunately it turns out retroactively that it was a sinful relationship, but it was an ones, it was a shogeg. So now when his real wife passed away, and we know for sure she passed away, she was buried with the all full honors, then he'd be allowed to go and revert back to that second sister. Now getting to Ariel Shaila, again, we start again the Mishnah. Omru loy meisa ishtoi. They told him that his wife passed away, and he married the sister. And now new Edom come on the scene and say, we got good news and bad news. Omru loy kayemes hoisa. When you went and married that second sister, the first sister, his real wife, was still alive. She was alive for the next 6 months, or a year. But subsequently she passed away. Maybe she was in a coma for a year. Anyway, eventually she passed away. So what happens? What happens if the husband and that second sister had a child in that intervening period? Havlad Rishon Mamzer. Then the child would never be a Mamzer because it's a Isser Kares. You can't go and marry two sisters. And this is a child from that second sister. For Achrein, however, if they continue to live together, and now they are allowed to, because that first sister passed away. The same Adam that said that she was still around confirmed that now she's dead. And now they had subsequent kinderloch. Then, of course, ain't mamzer, because that first sister is no longer, so there's no longer an Isser ever. Rabbi Yossi, Oymer Kosha, Poisal Yidei Achedim, Poisal Yidei Atzmoy, Bechoshain, Poisal Yidei Achedim, Eina Poisal Yidei Atzmoy. If you passel through others, then you passel through yourself. If you don't passel through others, you can't passel through yourself. What does that mean? Says Rashi, Bigmar Mafarish Lo, Yetchem Utsi, tomorrow's Amid Beis. Stay tuned for Rabbi Yossi tomorrow. Now we go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that, again, a young lady went to Medina Sayyam, and then we have a report coming back to the husband saying that unfortunately your wife died. What did he do? And he married the sister, or sister-in-law, that is the sister of his wife. Now, our Gemara embellishes the case somewhat and says, the afal gav the ozel ishtoi v'gisoi na Medina Sayyam. Tahani hani nisuam de mitzra eishes gisoi agisoi. Afil hochi eishes gisoi asira ishtoi sharia. What is this all about? So, we have a situation over here of two men, Reuven and Shimon. They are not brothers, just two men, one called Reuven, one called Shimon. Reuven is married to his wife, we'll call her Mrs. Reuven. Shimon is married to his wife, we'll call her Mrs. Shimon, for simplicity. Fine. Until now we learned that Reuven's wife, Mrs. Reuven, went out of Medina Sayyam, and she didn't return, unfortunately, and they told her that the wife had died. And according to the case of the Mishnah, she was not married to Shimon, she was just a spinster, she was yet single, and therefore he went and married her and then found out the terrible news that his wife was alive after all, and therefore he had been oseg in an Issa Erva, living with the sister. But now we're complicating the case a little bit. And again, Reuven and Shimon, not related, married to Mrs. Reuven and Mrs. Shimon respectively. Guess what happened? This was a very, very special Jewish heritage tour. In one case, Reuven says, I was there already, I'm not interested in going again, but my wife, by all means, you should go. Shimon, on the other hand, had never been there. And Shimon decides he's also going to go on that tour. Nothing suspicious, chas v'shalom. It's going, both of them are touring together. And then afterwards we hear the terrible news that both Mrs. Reuven passed away and then Shimon passed away. The ones remaining behind here who did not travel was Mr. Reuven and Mrs. Shimon. The ones that did travel were Mrs. Reuven and Shimon. Okay, we heard Nebuch, both of them passed away. Very, very sad. The whole family was sitting Shiva, they were Hespedim. What can you do? What did Reuven do? Reuven says to himself, I no longer have a wife. She, my sister-in-law, the one that is the sister of my wife, she no longer has a husband. The Rebbeinu Shalom sent the refuah before the Makkah. I'm going to go and marry my former sister-in-law. And I'm allowed to, because he allowed to. There's no Shimon. So therefore, Reuven married Mrs. Shimon. Fine. But he hayoyim, oh, a year later, half a year later, a month later, both of them return on the scene. Oh, we should make a party, Baruch Hashem, Tchiyas Amis, and both of them are here. And now Reuven says to Mrs. Shimon, oh boy, we got a problem. We have been married in sin for the last few months because I wasn't allowed to marry you. You weren't allowed to marry me. A man can't be married to two sisters. Oh, yeah, yeah. So what happens then? What are the ramifications? So in our Mishnah, we just learned now that as far as the husband is concerned, he can return back to his regular wife. That's what we learned in the Mishnah, right? They told her that he died. She died. She now returned to the scene. So Reuven can go and marry Mrs. Reuven. No problem. The question is, can Shimon marry the Mrs. Shimon once again? I say married, not to go through a whole chuppah of Kiddushin. Can they return to each other?
She has to document it.
Ah, that situation is just the reverse. That's like the first Mishnah in our parak. Since Shimon went away, leaving Mrs. Shimon behind, if there was only one eight, or according to the Maskana, even two Adam, that said that Shimon passed away. Mrs. Shimon can't just jump and say, oh, I'm going to go marry Reuven, it's a match made in heaven, I'm so happy, I take the place of my sister. No, she's got to be Daika Mintzvah. She's got to be much more careful than Reuven. And therefore, she should have hired the KGB and the FBI and the CIA and the Mossad and the Interpol. And obviously she didn't do a very good job, because had she done a good job, she would have found out that her husband is alive. So what happens now? She's not allowed to get back to her original husband, to Shimon. So Reuven and Mrs. Reuven can reunite, but Shimon and Mrs. Shimon cannot reunite. And that's what the Gemara is telling us. The Afagav, our Mishnah could be talking even in the hypothetical case. The Ozel Ishtoi, that Mrs. Reuven went away. The Gisoi and his brother-in-law, meaning the husband of the sister-in-law, meaning Shimon, that they both traveled away. The Hani Nisuim, the Kamitzra, Eishes Gisai Agisai, as a result of Reuven marrying Mrs. Shimon, and now the Mrs. Reuven and Shimon coming back alive, so the Nisuim that they engaged in, that illegal marriage between Reuven and Mrs. Shimon, Ahani, Hani means it helps, or it's effective, to Kamitzra Eishes Gisai Agisai, that Mrs. Shimon cannot return to Shimon because she wasn't Daika Umintzvah. But Afilahachi, even though Eishes Gisai Asira, the Eishes Gisai meaning Mrs. Shimon won't be able to reunite with Shimon, Ishtri Sharia, however, vis-a-vis Reuven, he would be able to marry Mrs. Reuven. V'lo Yamrin, we don't say Mitoich Shenesra Eishes Gisai Agisai. We don't go and say, that doesn't make sense. Shimon and his wife cannot be remarried. However, Reuven and his wife can. We should make a zambitoich and say, well, if they can't get married, they can't get... No, we do not say that. And we do allow for Reuven to return to Mrs. Reuven, even though we do not allow Mr. and Mrs. Shimon to return to each other. So that's the first footnote on our Mishnah. Put two dots. Now the Gemara is going off on a different angle. Why doesn't it shim like Rabbi Kiva? Because when Reuven wants to take back Mrs. Reuven, that is the sister of his Grusha. What does that mean? What the Gemara is now is supposing that according to Rabbi Kiva, as we'll see shortly, after this occurrence, we don't need to talk about Shimon anymore. Just talk about the two sisters, like we learned originally. Reuven originally was married to sister number one. Sister number one went to Medina Siyah. He heard that she died. He married now sister number two. Sister one comes back alive. What does Reuven now do vis-a-vis sister number two? As we'll see in the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva L'Choyra holds that he has to go and give her a get. Even though that was not an effective marriage, he got to go and give a get. Why do you have to go and give a get? Shemiyoyim, where people are going to go and say, how is it possible that he married the second sister? It must be that the first Kedushin was Al Tanai, it wasn't a real Kedushin, and it was Gunish. And if he was really married to the second one, and the second one, he's just sending her away without a get, you have to have a get, she's an anxious ish, what's going on? So to be on the safe side, Rabbi Kiva says, go and give a get. Ah, so if he's going to go and give a get to that second sister, and remarry, reunite with the first sister, that's going to be Achoyz Girushasai. That should be prohibited. Yet it says in the Mishnah that Muteris, and it's B'chayyah. A Mishnah says that it's Muter. So that's going to be the Kasha. You'll see how the Gemara will develop it. We had this price already a couple of days ago, that all the Aroyishim B'Torah, you do not need a get. In other words, if a brother and sister get married with photographers, with musicians, 1,000 people at the Chasana, it's ridiculous. It's totally meaningless. So you don't need a get subsequently. Chutz, except for Eishes Ish, Shinisis Al Pi Bezin. If you have an Eishes Ish that got married based on 1/8, like we had at the beginning of our Perek, that she remarried somebody else, and now we find out that the first husband comes back alive, oy voy voy, what are we going to do? That situation, we said in the Mishnah, take to Mizeh Mizeh, Utzricha get Mizeh Umizeh, she needs a get from that fellow. Even though she's an Eishes Ish marrying a stranger, is erva, there you do need a get. From Kiva Moisef, the same thing would apply. Af Eishes Ach, Vachoyz Isha. That if a person went and married Eishes Ach or Achoyz Ishtoi, in other words, his sister-in-law, also you'd have to have a get. Vekiva Niyomar Bekiva Achoyz Grishosai. So we're assuming now that the case of our Mishnah, that's the Achoyz Isha that Rabbi Kiva is Moisef, that he went and married that second sister, and now we find out that that marriage was an Isser Erva. Rabbi Kiva says, you need a get. Oh, so therefore she's Grushasai. And if that's the case, then the original sister is Achoyz Grushasai. And that's why the Gemara says, the Choyra, our Mishnah cannot shtim, Lloyd Rabbi Kiva. Says the Gemara, no, Nishkarai. The Mishnah can go like Rabbi Kiva after all. Vlavit Merlo, don't you remember that there was an additional gloss on what Rabbi Kiva said? That Omer Gid Omer B'chia Bar Yosef Omer Rav, Hay Eishes Ach, Hei Chidomi. Rabbi Kiva added Moisef Eishes Ach and Achoyz Isha. So says Rav, you know the Eishes Ach that Rabbi Kiva was Moisef? Kigoin Shekidesh Ochiv Eser Isha. Focus in particular on Kidesh, which means it was only Eresin, no Nisuin. Yet you had a person went Kidesh Ochiv Eser Isha, married the woman, but Kiddushin. V'holachim Dina Siyam, and that brother, that husband went to Dina Siyam. V'shom v'shameis ochet, and he heard Nebuch, the brother passed away. V'yom v'nosis ishtoi, and now the remaining surviving brother did yibum, the amri imshi. Now what happens if ultimately the first brother comes back? What do we do now? Do we have to go and give a get to that wife or not? The amri imshi hach kamet tenoa havali b'kiddushin. It must be, how is it possible that this individual went and married Eishes Ochiv, right? He heard that his brother died, and therefore he married, he was Miyabim the Isha. And now the first brother comes back on the scene. And people say, how is it possible this lady was first married to the first brother and now to the second brother? Is the Chanissim and Atoyer, is the Chanissim Erva, is the Eishes Ach, how could she do something like that? People say, oh, you know what must have happened? The first marriage was never chal, because it was kiddushin al tanai. Tanai means on a condition. The condition was that she paid $500, and she never paid the $500. So the kiddushin was never chal. Ah, b'hai shapir nasan. Now when the second brother married, that was a proper marriage. And that was the case where Rabbi Kiva said, since people think that the second marriage was a proper marriage, go and give a get. What was the second case of Rabbi Kiva? He said Eishes Ach, as well as the case of Achoyz Ishta. Hechidam, you're going to Kiddush Eishes Isha. Person went to Mekadesh, again, Kiddushin, married a wife, Erisin. Baholcha Lidasayam, then he went away. Vishoma Shemesa, she went away. Baholcha Lidasayam. Vishoma Shemesa, and now the husband heard, the Orus heard, that his wife, the Arusa, passed away. And what did he do? Omei Benosa Sechoisin, now he did full Chuppah Vikidushin and Nisuin with the second sister, and then the first sister comes back on the scene, and people say, how is it possible that Reuven is married to two sisters? It's Koni Zayin. The Amri Inchi must be the Hakamaisa Tanayav Libikidushe. He gave her a ring, but there was a stipulation with that condition, and the condition was you have to pay me $500, and she never fulfilled it, and therefore he was never married to the first sister. But he was married to the second sister, and therefore make sure that the second sister give a get, give her a get. That's the situation with the Kiva. But our Mishnah is not talking about Kiddushin. Our Mishnah is talking about Nisuin. And Nisuin mi'ik al-meimer, to know how to lay the Nisuin. Nobody does Nisuin al-Tanai, because that means that eventually his bia will be Mishava bias nus. Person ain't odem roitze Mishavya biyase bias nus. To go and say that the Kiddushin, give back the ring. Okay, she didn't fulfill the Tanai. Good, give back the ring. But you can't go and take back a bia once the bia took place. If you're going to say it was on the condition she paid 500, she didn't pay 500, then this was a bia snus. So what does he want me to say? In our Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva would not require there to be a get. Why wouldn't he require a get? Because our Mishnah talks about nisuin. How do I know? Because it says Mishnah Olcha Ishtoi L'Medina Seyah. It doesn't say Arusosai. It says his wife went to Medina Seyah. The Amrulay Mesa Ishtakar, they said that his wife passed away. And now what happens is he married that second wife, that second sister. Are we going to go and say, ooh, maybe there was a Tanai, and therefore people who think that the second marriage was Chal, make sure to go and give a get? Nobody's going to say that, because nobody makes a Tanai in the first Nisuin. So how did he go and marry the second wife? Must be because he must have heard that she passed away, and that's how he married Abad. This is the Chaner Lechid, this Reuven. He's such a wonderful guy, and there's no question about it. If he married the second sister, he must have heard that she died, and she's alive, Baruch Hashem. So would we require a get for the second wife? No, we wouldn't require a get for the second wife. Since we wouldn't require it, then the original wife is not Achoyz Gerushasai. Therefore, the Mishnah can stem even according to Rebbe Akiva. The whole reason why we thought that it can't go like Rebbe Akiva, because we assumed that Rebbe Akiva is going to require Achoyz Isha, give a get to that second wife, to that second sister. No, that's only where the first marriage was just Kiddushin, where you could say there was a Tanai in the Kiddushin. But if the first marriage was Nisuin, nobody would think that there was a Tanai in the Nisuin, so that must have been an effect of Nisuin. Everybody knows, I was at the marriage, I was there at the Chuppah, Hayach Beis. There was a Bia subsequently, there was a Cheder Yichud and all the rest. We know for sure there was Nisuin. In fact, the saint in the Mishnah talking about that there were children. So now if he went and married the second sister, under those circumstances, if the first sister comes back alive, Rabbi Akiva doesn't require a get, the Mishnah doesn't require a get. Doesn't say anything about a get for the second wife. So therefore, no get is required. It's not an Achoyz Gerushasai case. So Rabbi Akiva could be the Tana of our Mishnah after all. Dr. Ma'amalei Rav Kahana, Rabbi Akiva, if our Mishnah is not going to Rabbi Akiva, listening to Nami Chamoisai, I have even a better case. What means a better case? Why does it say in our Mishnah that if his wife died, he decided to go marry the sister? Let it go and see his wife died and decided to go marry the mother-in-law. Why would it say that case? Because Rabbi Akiva holds, as we'll see in a moment, that Chamoisa le'achamisa lav bisreifa, that there's no din of sreifa. What does that mean? This is a very, very difficult pasuk. It says in the pasuk, "Isha sheyikach, isha v'es ima zimahi." The person takes his wife and ima, his mother-in-law. Zimahi, it's a terrible thing. Ve'esh kisrefu oisa v'esen. The oynish for marrying a mother-in-law is sreifa. Ooh, that's a terrible thing. But the lashon of the pasuk is beishis v'oisai. Oisai means the perpetrator, that son-in-law that married the mother-in-law. The SN and them. Who the them? The chayyur of the them is the isha and the ima, that he married the wife and he married the mother-in-law. Says Rashi, the isha, she's an innocent bystander. She didn't do anything wrong. She married her husband, everything was fine. The fact that after that, the husband developed a liking to her mother, that's her fault. She should be burned at the stake. Of course, it's right, you're not burned at the stake. You have to go and put something down, hot lead down the mouth, down into the throat. Okay, why should she get Sreifa? She didn't do anything wrong.
Does the mother-in-law get Sreifa too?
That's what, for sure the son-in-law, and for sure the mother-in-law, because that's what the Pasuk says, Be'eshi Yisrafu Oysoi V'Eshet. But the Chayrit should say in the Pasuk, Be'eshi Yisrafu Oysoi V'Oysa, not V'Eshet. The wife didn't do anything wrong, it should be only the mother-in-law. Says the Gemara, we have Machlekes of Bishmol Rabbi Kiva. Bishmol says that the word Eshen means Oise V'es Achas Mehen. How does Eshen mean Achas Mehen? So Rashi tells us in the Greek language, the word Eshen means Achas Hina, which means only one, not both. Chas Hashem, you don't go and touch the wife. She's an innocent lady. She, nothing happened to her. So only the husband and the mother-in-law, those that's Oisoi him, V'es Achas Mehen, meaning the mother-in-law. That's how Rabbi Shmuel meant. Rabbi Kiva Oimer, Oisiv Yeshtehen. No, it's him and both. It can't be both, it can't be the wife. So how do you learn Veshtehen? Since the Machlok is exactly between Abaya and Rava, how you understand Rabbi Kiva. The first pshat of Abaya is Oisiv Yeshtehen means that the Pasuk is referring not only to the mother-in-law, but also to the grandmother-in-law. That the person married his wife, and not only did he live with his wife, but subsequently he lived with his mother-in-law and with the mother of this mother-in-law. Obviously, this person is totally insane. And today, any jury would go and acquit him for insanity. Go marry a mother-in-law and a grandmother-in-law. Okay, but we're talking about a person, at least hypothetically, if this were to occur. So the SN is not referring to the wife, it's the mother of the wife and the grandmother of the wife. That's the shtehen. Does Rabbi Shmuel agree with that halacha? Of course Rabbi Shmuel agrees with that halacha. But he doesn't learn it from this pasuk. Rashi says he learned it from Zayt HaShavar, from somewhere else, that if a person lived with his mother-in-law or his grandmother-in-law, there'd be a din of sreif. And therefore, says the Gemara, Vishloim l'abaya di amr mashmoy is doshet ikki benayim. To Rabbi Shmuel Sovar, Chodek Zif, the pasuk is talking about just one, Eshen, one of them. Rabbi Kiva Sovar, Tartik Zif, that it's referring to two, meaning the mother-in-law and the grandmother-in-law. Shabbat. Then we have no issue why it doesn't say the case of Chamoisai in the Mishnah. El Rabbi, the Yom HaChamois Liachem Misa, it could be Nayu. Rabbi says, I'll tell you why it says the Eish Yisrafu Oisai V'Eshen. What does Rabbi Kiva mean, Oisai V'Eshteyen? What Rabbi Kiva means to say is it's only a din of sreifa if he's still married to the wife and she's still alive. What happens if, for instance, his wife passed away? Are you allowed to then marry your mother-in-law? Yeah. We and us will hold no, you're not allowed to, because all Isaroyas go forever, even if the original wife is no longer. With the exception of the case of the Shtei Achoyas, because there the Pasuk says, Bechayeha. But otherwise, everything remains forever and ever. Aser, aser, aser. Person not allowed to marry, for instance, his daughter-in-law, Kalosai. What happens if his son and daughter-in-law get divorced? No longer a daughter-in-law. He's still not allowed to marry. This goes forever now. However, here, Rava says, according to Rabbi Kiva, that the only problem of the Sreifa is only when they're all alive and kicking. If the wife, for instance, died, and all he has now is mother-in-law, and he lives with that mother-in-law, no din of sreifa, because that's what Rabbi Kiva meant, v'eshteyen, that they're both alive. The wife is no longer alive. He married the mother-in-law, no din of sreifa. Ah, says the Gemara, if that's the case, el l'rov di ha-mechamoysi li'achem misa, ikkevenayu, that what? That if you go and live with the chamoysi after the misa of the wife, and that what? That according to Rabbi Kiva, there's no longer din of sreifa. So listen, Nami Chamoise, let our Mishnah go and tell us, take a case. Misha holcha ishul medinaseya. His wife went to medinaseya. Ubo vi amrulan, they say, your wife died. What does he do? Instead of anosas achoisa, he married his mother-in-law, Chamoise. then why should our Mishnah tell us that case? That's a tremendous chiddush, because Rabbi Shmuel doesn't hold that way. You and I don't hold that way. The only one that holds that way is Rava Alibed Rabbi Kiva, that there's no din of Sreifa. So that's a big chiddush. Go and tell us that he married the mother, and then Baruch Hashem, the daughter came back, and he's allowed to go back to his original wife. Listen, Ami Chamoisei. So the fact that it doesn't say Chamoisei sounds like our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Kiva after all. Amalei said, no, you're wrong. Nehid miyata kra misreifa misurim miyata kra. It doesn't say in this pasuk that you're allowed to marry your mother-in-law if your wife passed away. It just says that the oinish is not an oinish of sreifa. What would the oinish be? Presumably be chenek, or maybe it'd be malchus, but it wouldn't be sreifa. But this avad and isur. So our Mishnah could not say that if his wife went to Medina Siyam and he heard that she died, he went and married another chamois. Holy Levachas, you're not going to marry a Chamoisi or even Isser. There won't be Sreifa, according to Rabbi Kiva. But there'll be an Isser. So that's why Mishnah didn't tell us the case of Chamoisi. Then the Gemara Mishnah tomorrow is going to ask with the Asa B'Shchiv HaChoisa, meaning to have the Isha, to be continued in Mi'at Shem tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. Baruch HaVehatzlach.